Prayerful salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Respected elders, my dear brothers and sisters, Sai Ram to one and all. In Bhagavad Gita's Dhyana Shloka, there's a beautiful verse. Prapanna parijataya totra vetraika panaye jnana mudraya krishnaya gitamrita duhe namaha. Who can really get the nectarine bliss of Bhagavad Gita? The answer lies in the first word, prapanna. Only those who surrender at his lotus feet can get that divine nectar. Lord Krishna is extolled as the Parijata, the wish-fulfilling tree. And there are two more phrases in that very interesting, which depicts Krishna. On one hand, he is having a cane, and on the other hand, he is having the Jnana Mudra, which depicts the union of Self and the Supreme. Dear brothers and sisters, The world is of choices. We need to make choice whether we need the Jnana Mudra or the cane. The summer course in Indian culture and spirituality is a training ground which helps us to demarcate, to distinguish the secular knowledge and the spiritual knowledge. Started by Bhagavan himself, way back in 1972, the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality has lot of subjects has been discussed in this forum. In fact, our institute was established in 1981 and summer course was started in 1972 itself. That shows how much importance Swami gave to his subject, which is the spiritual knowledge. In 1972, Swami started the summer course telling that I will train my boys, I will train my students about my subject, which is the spiritual education. In his subject, the syllabus doesn't change, the topics do not change, the theories, the concepts, the process, the technology, nothing changes as we see in the transient academic world. In the 1973 summer course, Swami's focus was on Shankaracharya's teaching, famously known as the Vajagovindam summer course, which is relevant even today. Nahi nahi rakshati dukrun karani Vajagovindam mudamate, where we are all running behind technology and gathering data. Swami has told the truth in the 1973 summer course itself. If it was the Shankaracharya's teachings in 1973 summer course, subsequently Swami talked about various matters like Ramayana, Krishnavatar, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, human mind, and so on. We need to remember one thing is the passion of our beloved Bhagavan to his subject again. It is worth recalling his words during one of the summer courses. Swami has told, education must enthuse youth to understand the precious heritage of Indian culture and spirituality and to evoke the higher powers they possess. Though there are perennial sources and springs of strength within them, they behave like weaklings and ignoramuses. Patience, tolerance, tranquility and calmness have to be implanted in their heart. Unquote. If Uddalakash sent Shvetaketu back to forest again after knowing that he has undergone 12 years of penance by asking a question, do you have that in you by knowing which you know everything? Perplexed by this, Shvetaketu goes back to forest again for penance. Imagine any one of us sent back telling that you are not eligible after slogging out for 12 long years. Can we go back? But our Bhagavan is all compassionate. Through this summer courses, he reminds us the very purpose for which we have come. In fact, I would say it's a divine alarm right at the beginning of the academic year to all of us what we should focus on. There are a number of institutions which give degrees, which give competition as the main theme. But our Bhagavan when education is a rat race, where winning is everything, but for Bhagavan, it is the participation in running which matters. I remember one of the incidents in a beautiful evening in Kodaikanal. It was in the year 2009. Swami was casually speaking to us, asking what you have done, what degrees. It was April holidays. Some of us were graduating. Some of us were going from first year to the second year, and so on. After some time, Swami switched to Hindi and asked one brother, "Kya kar rahe ho?" Which means, what you are doing? And he got up and Swami told, he told Swami, "Diploma khatam ho gaya." Swami asked, "Diploma khatam ho gaya? Khatam, which means finish." Actually, the boy went and told Swami, "Finish ho gaya, Swami, finish." And everybody burst into laughter. Swami was driving home an important message, and Swami immediately corrected him, "Bolo, degree khatam nahi hua, degree pura hua, or degree complete ho gaya." It is only with this divine touch we can complete our degrees. We can make our life purnam or pura. Otherwise, either we will finish the degree or the degree will finish us. To speak about Swami's education philosophy and the lessons derived from Indian culture and spirituality, we have two student brothers, one from the Vrindavan campus and one from Prashant Nilayam campus, who will be addressing us. The first speaker from the Vrindavan campus, Simesh Bhaskar of third year BSc Honours Chemistry, will be speaking to us. On the topic, Tyage Neke Amritatva Manushuhu, by sacrifice alone we can attain immortality. Simesh hails from Mangalore, Karnataka. His interests include painting, and he's a dynamic sports person, gifted sports person. He is the volleyball man of the match in the Vrindavan campus, and he's having a brilliant academic record. He did his schooling in Sri Sathya Sai Lok Seva Trust, Alike, from his 6th standard to 12th standard. Followed by Brother Simesh, we have V. Sairam from the 1st M.Tech class, Computer Science, Prashant Nilayam campus, who will be speaking to us on the topic, The Dilemma of Greater Good, Insights from Bharatiya Epics. V. Sairam, currently studying in the 1st M.Tech class, hails from Chennai, and he has done his entire education in Swami's institute, right from primary. Then on, he went to higher secondary school. He perceived his BSc honors from the Vrindavan campus and went on to do MSc maths in the Prashant Nilayam campus. He is part of the general knowledge quiz team. His interests include writing and public speaking. I request the speakers to come onto the stage in the order mentioned. They'll be speaking to us, followed by their talk. We have bhajans. Now I call upon Brother Simesh Bhaskar.
The Vedas declare, Nakarmanana prajaya dhanena tyagenaike amratattva manushu. Not by action, not by progeny, not by wealth, but only through selfless sacrifice, man can attain immortality. Om Shri Sai Ram, placing myself at Swami's lotus feet, invoking my parents' blessings. At the very outset, I express my heartfelt gratitude to our beloved Mother Sai for giving me this opportunity to share my views. Remembering and bowing down to the sacrificial heights our soldiers have achieved. Remembering and bowing down to the farmers of our country who give us food and clothing. Revered members of various trusts, elders, brothers and sisters, today I am here to share some of my views on the topic, sacrifice, the essence of Indian culture and spirituality. To begin with, let me start with a small story. A story which Swami himself told in one of his interview sessions. There was a Rajput kingdom. The crown prince had just gotten married. As fate would have it, the kingdom was going to war. The king, his father, told his son to stay back out of sympathy for the newlywed couple. And the prince decided to stay back. When the prince's wife came to know this news, she sent him a gift with a letter through her maid servant. It was a silver plate with something covered on it, with a cloth. When the prince removed the cloth, he was shocked. It was his wife's head. With trembling hands, he picked up the letter and read. It said, "It is your dharma to protect your praja, subjects. Your praja is your family. I will not let you turn away from dharma to stay with me. Go, fight the war." Even today, the children of Rajasthan are aware of the sacrifice of that noble woman. Had she been like any other woman, she would have been forgotten in the sands of time. Her sacrifice made her immortal. Tyagenaike amratattva manashu. Going back in time, let me quote some examples from the itihasas. A prince gave up his claim to the throne, all palatial comforts, and was ready to sacrifice the attachments to his family just to keep up his father's promise given to his mother. Yes, he lived a life of sacrifice, and that's how Sri Rama, a figure who walked the earth millennia ago, is still remembered, adored, worshipped by millions now. Tyagenaike amratattva manashu. In Kurukshetra war, Arjuna used to be terribly upset with agony that he had to touch with his feet the head that saints and sages, gods and goddesses worshipped and adored. Yes, he had to prod the charioteer's bros with left or right toe of his feet to indicate the direction. If the chariot has to be driven straight, both the toes had to be pressed with equal force. Sri Krishna, the Lord of the universe, never assumed the role of the universal sovereign, that is his real nature and status. That was the measure of his sacrifice for those devoted to him. And now, in every nook and corner of the world, we can see Sri Krishna's name heard everywhere. Tyagenaike amratattva manushu. Okay, let me ask you all a question. What is illiteracy? What is illiteracy? According to me, if a person doesn't know how to read or write, it is not at all illiteracy. If a person is uncultured, then that's it. It's absolute illiteracy. And needless to say, the basic foundation for Indian culture is sacrifice. Yes, I can see many stunned faces. Let me elaborate it a bit more. Here, sacrifice means sacrificing the ego, sacrificing the bad in you to become good, better citizens, best citizens of the country. The easy way to hit the path of sacrifice, the best way to do sacrifice in life is to consider everything positively, ups and downs, joy and sorrow. That's what Sri Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita. Nadveshta kushalam karma kushalena anusajyate tyagi sattva samavishto medhavi chinna samshayaha. Which means, considering everything positively, considering the ups and downs, joy and sorrow in life with full equanimity is real sacrifice. Lord Brahma had begun his role of creation. After a while, he felt that his creation was incomplete. So he meditated on Lord Shiva. Pleased, Lord Shiva appeared. Lord Brahma explained the problem to him and asked for help. Shankara separated Shakti from himself and gave the energy to Lord Brahma. That was how the Prakriti came into existence. Shankara's sacrifice for Shakti earned him the title Devonke Dev Mahadev Tyage Naike Amritatva Manashuhu. Today, if Jesus Christ is remembered by everyone, by billions of people, it's only because of his selfless sacrifice for the humanity. He sacrificed his entire life and died on the cross. His sacrifice is the reason why multitudes bow down to him even today. Mayurdhwaja, we are all familiar with this story. When Shri Krishna and Arjuna came to him disguised as Brahmins and told him that their son had been captured by the tiger, and it could escape only if the flesh equal to the body of the boy was given to the tiger. Mayurdhwaja was immediately ready to offer his right half of his body to the tiger. When his body was about to be cut, a tear rolled down from his left eye. "Stop," said Shri Krishna. "This sacrifice is not being done with full heart." When asked why Mayurdhwaja was crying, he said, "The left half of the body was feeling sad and bad that it cannot be offered for the sake of the boy." Immediately, Shri Krishna revealed himself as the Lord of the universe, and then and there itself immortalized Mayurdhwaja. Tyage naike amritatva manashuhu. Rishi Dadichi had received a boon from Lord Shiva that his bones would be used to make the weapon of Indra, that is Vajrayuda, the king of gods. After a few years, the gods needed the weapon. The great sage, without any second thought, gave up his life so that his bones could be used to make the weapon. Tyage naike amritatva manashuhu. In Ramayana, one of the incidences that stands out the most and fills the reader with awe and sympathy is the sacrifice of the noble Jatayu. Jatayu took upon himself the demon king Ravana to rescue Mother Sita, forgetting his own limitations. The demon king Ravana struck Jatayu down without any mercy. Jatayu breathed its last only after Sri Rama came to him. Sri Rama was so moved, was so touched with Jatayu's devotion and sacrifice, he himself did the final rites of Jatayu. Even his father Dasharatha didn't get that privilege. Tyage naike amritatva manashuhu. As revealed by Swami himself, Mother Kaikeyi sacrificed her name, fame, reputation and honor to keep up the God's command. As Sri Rama's wish itself, she told Dasharatha to send Sri Rama to the forest, and the whole world continues to curse her. It was her immense sacrifice that made Sri Rama to start his mission and fulfill it. Okay, let me take a small jump from the past to the present. Usually, people ponder over the surface and don't go deep. Similarly, many of us know what happened that day in Chicago, but the past few days, struggle and sacrifice of Swami Vivekananda went unnoticed. When Swami Vivekananda landed on the soil of America, he realized that still there were 3 months for the conference to be held. But the money which he had in his pocket was just sufficient to 10 to 15 days. Someone said, "If you stay in Chicago, you will become a pauper," and suggested him to go to Boston. We can't believe A man who could shake the entire world after 3 months went to Boston and slept in the railway bogies, footpaths. He didn't even have a place to spend in Boston. Spending the nights in such a pathetic manner, morning he wakes up and goes with the bhiksha patra from house to house. Men and women of America said, "Ha! A brown man is coming to ask alms," and they closed their doors. At last, Swamiji was frustrated, irritated, and decided not to beg anymore. He decided to starve. But note, my dear brothers and sisters, for the one who lived his life with sacrifice, for the one who sacrificed his entire youth, for the one who kept up the The command of Sri Rama, that is, Janani Janma Bhumischa Swargadapi Gariyasi, Lord himself came and gave him food. This incident clearly indicates that when one lives a life of sacrifice, God will always be there to look after. After the conference, someone came to Swamiji and said, Swamiji, what is that inherent power in you that makes you so popular, that makes you world famous? Swamiji says, brother, the power of sacrifice I have done is flowing in every inch of my body in such a way that what America, the whole world should come and fall onto my feet. Power of sacrifice. Salutations to that great soul. Indian freedom fighters had fought against the British Empire and continued the Indian freedom struggle with their undying spirit and bravery. The fearless, valorous freedom fighters fought against the British Empire and sacrificed their lives to achieve the independence. A century of struggle, bloodshedding, sacrifices followed, and finally India became independent on 15th of August 1947. Independent India was the dream, was the goal, was the aim of each and every Indian who had the heart which pumped the blood of sacrifice into their veins. Yes, let me take a small jump from the present to the future. Vision 2020. Vision 2020, a book by Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam, explains the heights that Mother India will reach on the year 2020. Yes, we are heading towards that year, 2020. We have to know what to do on that year, 2020. Bhagat Singh sacrificed his entire life but died before he could get the independence. But if we work hard now, after 5 years, to see Jagat Guru Bharat, our photos will not be having garland hung around it. We will be alive. We will be in the Jagat Guru Bharat. We will be in the pinnacle of glory. But mark my words, if the foundation is not strong, we will collapse. We are bound to collapse. That foundation should be that of the essence of Indian culture and spirituality, that is sacrifice. It would be wrong on my part if I don't mention one person who is sacrifice personified. The Vedas rightly declare her as Matra Devo Bhava. Mother is verily God. She forgets herself, her conveniences, her comforts and everything to see that small smile in her child's face. For such a Tyaga Jeevi, we keep aside one day in the month of May, the second Sunday, as Mother's Day. What a plight. Each day has to become Mother's Day. On a concluding note, finally, if I had a chance to alter the words in the world-class dictionaries, I would first replace the word sacrifice with Satya Sai. What a sacred life. What a life of sacrifice it was. There we can see a big bungalow sort of thing. Swami's residence. From outside, it appears like that. If you go inside and see, the simplest of the simplest life he led. Can't believe. 1 8-by-8-foot room. One bed, one plate, one tumbler. He sacrificed his everything and took upon himself the struggling, the sufferings of his devotees. Though didn't have anything for himself, he provided the entire humanity with free medical care, aqua care, educare, and the list goes on and on. The very fact that we have many highly or rather supremely cultured teachers in our education and institutes, moved and touched by Swami, sacrificing their entire lives for the sake of we students, shows the strength of deep roots of sacrifice Swami has driven in them. What great souls! If not God, then who else can create such embodiments of sacrifice? Hats off to him. Yes, if life becomes a sacrifice unto him, then every human breath will carry the scent of blossoms of heaven. At last, I would like to say, self-centeredness is the killer of faith. Sacrifice is the pillar of faith. Whole Indian culture is itself a sacrifice to the humanity. Let us explore that hidden happiness, that eternal happiness of sacrifice. Once again, bowing down to my beloved Mother Sai. Jai Hind, Jai Sai Ram.
Sri Sai Ram. I offer my humble pranams at Swami's lotus feet. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, Sai Ram to all of you. It was at the start of the Kurukshetra war when Arjuna asked Krishna to move his chariot between the two armies so that he might see all of his enemies. Even as Arjuna began to look at the faces of those people he had once sworn to destroy, he saw the faces of some people whom he adored, whom he loved, some whom he even worshipped. He saw Bhishma, the revered grandsire. He saw his gurus Dronacharya and Kripacharya, and all of a sudden Arjuna grew despondent. He lost all his desire for war. It was at that time when Krishna urged him to fight, to do his duty as a warrior. The dialogue that followed between Arjuna and Krishna, as we all know, forms the Bhagavad Gita. But the question is this: what made Arjuna lose his desire to do his duty? What was this? What caused this unseemly reaction in Arjuna? The answer to this is that where Arjuna should have seen opponents on a battlefield, Arjuna saw his kinsmen. Therefore, Arjuna had a confusion about his duty as a kinsman and that of a warrior. The underlying problem is that Arjuna was not in tune with the essence of dharma. This essence of dharma that is common to all people, irrespective of caste, color, race, creed, anything, is called Atma Dharma. Its application to specific scenarios and situations is known as Paradharma. Perhaps an example here would clarify the concepts better. Let us take a bulb, a fan, and a radio. All these three are devices that run on electricity but perform different functions. The functions each of these devices perform can be compared to paradharmas, but the current is the same for all these three, and in a similar manner the current may be compared to Atma Dharma. All these definitions are well and good in theory. In practice, how does one remain in tune with Atma Dharma? There are two methods out of a possibly many. The first method being follow the voice of one's conscience. The second method being think incessantly about God. Let us consider the first method. Our scriptures give us plenty of examples of individuals who are worth emulating. The Pandavas in the Mahabharata are one such example for the first method. For them, Krishna was the voice of their conscience. Whatever Krishna said, whatever Krishna commanded, the Pandavas would obey implicitly. One day, when the Pandavas were roaming in the forest during their exile along with Draupadi, the Pandavas saw a large and tasty looking fruit hanging from one of the branches of a tree. Now, being hungry, they decided to eat that fruit, and so Arjuna shot it down. To their surprise and dismay, however, they found that they could not even lift the fruit. Even Bhima, with all his superhuman might and ability, was not able to budge it by even an inch. And while all this struggle was going on in trying to move the fruit, the Pandavas did not realize that they were disturbing a sage doing his penance. This sage's name was Romarishi. Now, Romarishi had been doing penance in that forest for a number of years, during the course of which his hair had grown all over the forest floor. And the Pandavas were trampling upon this hair when they were trying to move the fruit. I'm sure you all would have guessed that by now that this fruit was no ordinary fruit. This fruit actually had the result of Romarishi's tapasya. It had that unique quality that anybody who would eat that fruit would not suffer from hunger or thirst for months and years to come. Of course, Romarishi awoke from his tapasya and divined that somebody was trying to take away the fruit. He did not know who was trying to take away the fruit, and he was furious. His angry voice echoed throughout the forest, asking who those people were, and the Pandavas heard it. And then they realized that they were in grave danger. As always, and immediately Draupadi called out to Lord Krishna, who appeared instantly. Now when the Pandavas asked Lord Krishna for help, Lord Krishna said, "I will protect you, but on one condition." This condition being that you will not question my any action at any point of time. Having said this much, Lord Krishna then instructed the Pandavas to follow him after a while and went straight to the ashram of Romarishi. The moment Romarishi saw Lord Krishna, he forgot all his earlier anger and he welcomed the Lord with open arms. And even while Lord Krishna and Romarishi were conversing, the Pandavas arrived. The moment Krishna saw the Pandavas, he got up, went straight and fell at their feet. The Pandavas were shocked. Obviously, they were devotees of Lord Krishna. And the Lord was falling at their feet. But of course, they had promised Krishna that they would not open their mouth, no matter what Krishna did. And so they kept silent. Romarishi, upon seeing that the Lord himself was falling at somebody's feet, did the same thing. It is after this that Krishna told Romarishi the entire story and asked Romarishi to please give the fruit to the Pandavas because it would be very, very helpful for them during their exile. Romarishi now was very happy and he obviously would not curse the people whom he had just now prostrated before. So he gave the fruit with his blessings to the Pandavas. The moral of the story is that whoever follows Atma Dharma never comes to any harm. And even if there is some danger to that person, the Lord will immediately come and protect them. Let us come to the second method. Think of the Lord incessantly. Now, thinking of the Lord incessantly and Atma Dharma are not two things that many of us would usually relate to. How is thinking about the Lord equivalent to following one's Atma Dharma? Let me explain this by using an analogy. I'd like you all to visualize a tree. Only this tree is an inverted tree. Its branches are below and its roots are above. Each individual is like this tree. The branches below represent the various roles this individual has to perform. So somebody might be a father. At the same time, he could be a friend. A mother could be an aunt to her nephew. But what about the roots? The roots represent the connection between the individual and his higher consciousness. For the branches to remain healthy, the roots must draw sustenance from the Atma. This is equivalent to being in constant communion with the Lord. And so, by this analogy, we can see that thinking about the Lord incessantly is same as following one's Atma Dharma. An incident comes to mind. Again, it is in the Mahabharata and the Pandavas are involved. One day, during the Pandavas' exile, the sage Durvasa comes to visit Duryodhana in Hastinapura. Now Duryodhana is obviously afraid of the sage's legendary ill temper and treats him first class hospitality. And despite the sage's occasional outbursts, Duryodhana somehow manages to keep Durvasa more or less happy. At the end of Durvasa's stay, he decides to confer upon Duryodhana a boon and ask Duryodhana, what does he want? Now Duryodhana always had ill wishes towards the Pandavas and so asked this boon on behalf of Yudhishthira. He asked Durvasa, "Oh great sage, please go and visit my cousin Yudhishthira who is living in the forest right now. Please visit him, but don't visit him throughout the day. Visit him in the evening." The reason for this special rider on the request, "Please visit him in the evening," is as follows. Yudhishthira and the Pandavas were blessed by the Lord, by Lord Surya with a divine vessel called Akshaya Patra. This Akshaya Patra would not empty itself of food throughout the day as long as Draupadi had not eaten. In the evening, Draupadi would have had her meal and so the Akshaya Patra would not yield any food until the next day. So when the sage Durvasa comes to visit unannounced to the Pandavas, Draupadi had already eaten by then and even washed the Akshaya Patra. So there was no chance that any food was available for Durvasa and his 1000 disciples, by the way. And there was every chance that the sage would curse the Pandavas. Draupadi began to fret. And it was some small comfort for Draupadi when the sage announced that he and his 1000 disciples would go to the nearby river to freshen themselves up and then come for the eagerly expected meal. The moment Durvasa went away from the Pandavas abode, Draupadi turned to Krishna and called out to him. And as always, Krishna appeared instantly before Draupadi. But this time Krishna had a different game to play. Ignoring Draupadi's pleas for help, Krishna went straight and asked, "I am hungry, give me some food." Draupadi said, "There's not a morsel of food in the house." She was in tears by then. And she said, "How do you expect me to feed you? I don't have anything with me, not a grain of rice." Krishna said, I don't believe all that. He went straight to the Akshayapatra and ran his fingers along the inner surface of the vessel and found a single leaf. Of course, finding the single leaf was also his own leela. He had in fact created that leaf over there. He took it and put it in his mouth and exclaimed, ah, this is enough to satiate my hunger. And even as Krishna ate this one single leaf, the hunger of 1001 people, Durvasa included, was satiated. The Muni and his disciples were now, they didn't want Yudhishthira's hospitality and quietly slipped away blessing Yudhishthira. This is another example of how the scriptures provide us with stellar characters worth emulating. Now, for those people who incessantly think of the Lord has given an assurance. He said in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Ye Jana Pariupasate Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam Yogakshemam Vahamyaham. Meaning that those who think of the Lord incessantly, the Lord would provide for their material and spiritual needs. Another incident comes to my mind, and it's again about the Mahabharata and the Pandavas. It is, this time the setting is the Kurukshetra war. The war was not going particularly well for Duryodhana, and Bhishma was in command at that time. Incited by Duryodhana, Bhishma took a terrible oath. He said, on the following day, either he would destroy all the Pandavas, or he would make Krishna take up arms. Hearing this, Draupadi was terrified, because Krishna had earlier taken an oath that he would not lift any arms in the war, and Bhishma was no ordinary warrior. So Draupadi was in that terrible, fearful situation when Krishna comes to her, to her and the Pandavas' rescue. Krishna tells her a plan. He tells her, when night falls, you go straight to Bhishma's tent and fall at his feet. He must not recognize you when you do this, and he will give you the traditional blessing of Dirgha Sumangali Bhava. After he gives you such a blessing, he will not be in any situation to harm your husbands. And so Draupadi agrees to this and goes along, and Krishna accompanies her. It is night. Krishna suddenly realizes that the footwear Draupadi is wearing is causing a sound that could alert Bhishma to their arrival. And he wants Bhishma completely off guard when Draupadi falls at his feet. So he tells Draupadi quickly, give me your slippers. And Draupadi in that moment gives Krishna her slippers. Krishna takes her footwear and places it in his uttariya and wraps it. And then, of course, Krishna's plans always go perfectly well. Draupadi goes and falls at Bhishma's feet. Bhishma does not know who it is, but knows that it is a married woman from the sound of her bangles, and says the traditional blessing, Dirgha Sumangali Bhava. Draupadi stands up happy, knowing very well that her husband's lives are safe. Bhishma looks at Draupadi, recognizes her, and realizes this cannot be her plan. This is Lord Krishna's doing, and laughs. He knows, and Krishna immediately enters the tent, showing himself now. The moment Bhishma sees this bundle, Bhishma is curious as to what Krishna is carrying, a bundle, that too at night. And so he asks him, please open this bundle. And when Krishna opens his bundle, Bhishma is shocked. He sees the footwear of Draupadi. And the old grandsire could only remark this, choking with tears. Oh Lord, what will you not do for your devotees? The Lord will do anything for his devotees. In 2007, when Swami went to Chennai for the Atirudra Mahayajna conducted over there, Swami visited the house of one of his devotees. And this devotee had arranged for a renowned Carnatic singer to give a recital there. Even as Swami entered the devotee's house, the singer began to sing this song, Krishna Nibe Gane Baro, which is a song entreating the Lord to come to the devotee. And Swami spontaneously replied in Tamil, Adha Vandache, which means, I have already come. Yes, Swami is that same Krishna. He was the voice of the conscience of the Pandavas then. He is the voice of our conscience now. All of us must obey the command of the Lord so that we may remain in tune with our Atma Dharma. So that we all please our Sai Krishna. In 1965, Guru Purnima discourse, Swami had commanded all his devotees to do Gita Sadhana. Now what is this Gita Sadhana? In an earlier discourse that same year, Swami had clarified that Gita was the command of the Lord, and that Gita sadhana, therefore, would mean following the command of the Lord implicitly. I end my talk now praying to Swami that He gives us the strength, will and intellect to obey His commands implicitly. With this end, I conclude my talk. Jai Sai Ram.
Yeah. Bye. जय जगदीश हरे स्वामी सत्य सारी हरे भक्त जना संरक्षक भक्त जना संरक्षक पति महेश्वरा ओम जय जगदीश हरे शशिवदनाशीकरा सर्वा प्राणपते स्वामी सर्वा प्राणपते आश्रित कल्पलतीका आश्रित कल्पलतीका आवर्धवा ओम जय जगदीश हरे माता पिता गुरुदेवम् मरियंत युनीबे स्वामी मरियंत युनीबे नाद ब्रह्म जगनाथा नाद ब्रह्म जगनाथा नागेन्द्राशयना ओम जय जगदीश हरे ओंकार रूप जस्वी ओ साई महादेवा सत्य साई महादेवा मंगलारती अंदुको मंगलारती अंदुको मंगल गिरिधारी ओम जय जगदीश हरे नारायण नारायण ओम सत्य नारायण 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 सत्य नारायण नारायण सत्य नारायण नारायण ओम जय सद्गुरुदेवा नारायण नारायण ओम सत्य नारायण 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 ओम सत्य नारायण नारायण सत्य नारायण नारायण ओम जय सद्गुरुदेवा नारायण नारायण ओम सत्य नारायण 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 ओम सत्य नारायण नारायण ओम सत्य नारायण नारायण सुखिनो भवन्तु समस्तलोका सुखिनो भवन्तु समस्तलोका सुखिनो भवन्तु शांति शांति है जय